You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
The icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH. This is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. There are probably some of you who are younger than 50 years old out there. This show is older than you. Imagine that. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-hosts in the world, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a practicing attorney, and the owner of two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer.
Hey, Mark. Good to be here with you. And Ricardo, once again, welcome back. We totally missed you. And the show just wasn't the same.
I totally missed you guys, too. So, our second co-host and an automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on the Believe Network, current president of Hispanic Motor Press Association, Ricardo Rodriguez Long. Welcome, Ricardo.
Good afternoon to all. It's a pleasure to be with you. We did miss you, Mark. So I'm sure you have a lot to tell us what you've been doing on that weekend. And well, again, so many events. We have to enjoy that we live here in Southern California.
There's a lot going on, but first, in order to keep our voices on the air, to keep this show coming to you every year as it has for, I think this is our 53rd year, we are asking for your support. This is the last day of our Midsummer Pledge Drive, and we need you to please be a pal, step up to the plate, and one of us here on The Car Show has the phone number, 818-985-5735. Please call that and donate to KPFK because we need your support. You can also go online at kpfk.org, and that support will allow us to keep coming to you. It will allow us to broadcast at 112,000 watts off the top of Mount Wilson and maybe even a couple of other places throughout Southern California on the repeater system. We need your support to keep the lights on and the radio waves propagating across Southern California with truth and information and insight that you don't get anywhere else. So please call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and make a donation. I have met many of you out there who have made donations, and I got to say thank you to each and every one of you. There are too many to list off all the names, but we appreciate all of your support. Now let's get right down to it. Michelle is going to take us up north. Michelle, what's going on up there? This is our calendar section, as you know.
Yes, kicking it off with Ventura. All right. Don't you all want to go to the Ventura County Fairgrounds for a road trip?
Yes,
you do. August 31st. Starting today through September 1st, in other words, all of Labor Day weekend, is the Ventura Nationals at Ventura County Fairgrounds, where you will find hundreds of customs, hot rods, and more bands and vendors.
That sounds like fun. That's a fun place. It's right on the water there. The fairgrounds right on the water, right next to, of course, the clay dirt track oval out there. Yes. And Michelle has been there, I'm sure, many times.
Yep. For the turkey night. That's where they run it now.
Yep. They do?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yep.
That's where they run it. And so that's where the dirt meets the surf. And if you want to go to the Ventura Nationals and check out cars and enjoy the cool weather while you're there, because it'll be really nice.
Where the clay meets the bay. How about that?
Oh, Mark, come on. That's perfect.
It's perfect. All right. Yeah. And if you go there for the races, this is not a race, by the way. This is like a hot rod show.
Right.
But if in the future you go there for the races, remember they fling that clay off the tires into the stands, so you have to know where to sit. And
you don't sit down below, you sit up high.
up high.
Yeah, don't ever sit down below. You'll show that you're a newbie.
Yeah. What else we got going on?
Well, I was going to say VenturaNationals.com is the website where you can pre-purchase or, you know, find out more information. Also, tomorrow, Sunday, September 1st, is Cars and Coffee again at Segerstrom Shelby Event Center down here in Irvine. It kicks off at 7:30 in the morning to 9:30 a.m. And all makes and models are welcome. You do not have to have a Shelby. You don't even have to have a Mustang. This is in my neck of the woods down here in OC. And whenever I go, I see all kinds of things. And I even bring one of my Mazdas, whatever I feel like. And nobody says anything weird to me. So feel comfortable.
Well, Ford once owned Mazda, so it makes sense.
Well, yeah, there you go. There's a connection. It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon separation there.
That's right.
So you don't have to register. You just show up with whatever you are bringing and enjoy their complimentary donuts from Duck Donuts in Newport Beach and coffee. And you don't have to bring a mug. They have cups and everything. So go to 5 Watney in Irvine. And then if you want to, just go half block up and check out Hillbank, because they're open and very close, not far to walk at all.
The danger of Hillbank is you go in there and next thing you know, you've just bought a $150,000 GT40. But you'll be happy, you know, for a while. You may be divorced, but, you know, that sounds like it was inevitable anyway. So,
Maybe to save that, you can go halfway and get a Caterham 7.
Okay. See, possibilities are endless.
That's right.
So save your marriage and get a Caterham. It's great. Great. Farther up the coast, every now and then we throw in something that might constitute a road trip. And the one this week, our buddy Dave Wolin, who I think he's the tallest man in America. He has let us know about the Woodland Auto Display in Paso Robles. So if you're going up to the Bay Area or anything, everybody goes up 5, cuts over on Highway 46, and then cuts up on the 101. Before you get to the 101, on your right is the Woodland Auto Display, and they are just now opening up a Tribute to Parnelli Jones exhibit in the display area. They have posters, helmet, a race car, and more. You can check it out at woodlandautodisplay.com. It's located on the grounds of the Estrella Warbirds Museum, which itself is worth a trip. So now you have two reasons to go to Paso Robles, and as Michelle might say, there's always the wine. So that's going on.
I've been at that place a couple of times. I have to say it is worth the trip, especially if you're into airplanes, because the collection of airplanes is quite interesting. I did not know at the beginning. I didn't know that there was a car museum in the back. So it's a nice mix of vehicles, and there's some race cars, some very unique automobiles. So definitely you can make a weekend out of it.
It's adjacent to the Paso Robles Municipal Airport. So who knows what might be taking off and landing there when you're there. It's always fun to hang out at those little airports. And then back down here in L.A., this is for the following weekend, not this weekend, Saturday, September 7th, Rusnak's Morning Octane. Now, Rusnak owns a bunch of dealerships in the Pasadena area, the greater Pasadena area, including, I think, Porsche, Rolls-Royce, I think Bentley. He's got a whole bunch of really interesting dealerships. And before COVID, they were putting on a bunch of really cool car show type things. And then we sort of lost track of them and don't know what exactly happened. But now they are back. So Saturday, September 7th at Santa Anita Park, Lot B, as in Bravo, you will get to see Rusnak's Morning Octane. That is pretty cool. These they should have some fun stuff. The last time I went to one of these, obviously pre-COVID, it was on the Colorado Street Bridge over Arroyo Seco. They shut down that bridge and made a car show on it. It was quite fun, really cool. And Mr. Rusnak himself was there. He can tell you the story about how he and his family escaped from Hungary during communist rule. The way he told it to me, they got a fancy looking limousine, put diplomatic flags on the front, and they just drove across the border without stopping. So a lot of good stories there. Rusnak's Morning Octane, Saturday, September 7th at Santa Anita Park. Now, also on September 7th, if you have a BMW, Michelle, didn't you used to have a BMW?
Oh, my sister and my mom have BMWs.
Okay, that's close enough.
Yeah, our family, we bought one of the first 325i's, I believe, in the 70s.
Yeah.
And we called it the Maroon Goon. Remember those maroon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maroon Goon. So that's back when I stood for Einspritzen. Fuel injection. That was when fuel injection was a new thing. So that's
funny.
Yeah, we're multilingual here. So the Beamer Invasion is coming September 7th at Irwindale Speedway. It's a showcase of some of the most unique rides from all across North America, they say. This one's going to include vendors catered to the BMW community. There will be a judged car show, VIP lounges, drag racing, because remember, there's that quarter or eighth mile drag strip at Irwindale. There's going to be a burnout competition, drift competition. It sounds like the Fast and Furious is going on right there, but all and only in BMWs. That's September 7th at Irwindale Speedway. You can check it out at beamer-invasion.com. And we've got another thing coming up on. Yeah, Ricardo, what do you think?
If you're not into BMWs, but you like more of a trail and off-road, well, the same day you have an option, because they have the Nitto Jeep Bash happening, I believe, is in Huntington Beach, if I recall. The Nitto Jeep Bash is September 7th, all day long. It's where East Coast meets West Coast. This will be at the State Beach.
Bolsa Chica
State Beach, north of Huntington State Beach.
That's right. So it's the 9th annual event. It's in conjunction with KMC, which is a supplier of aftermarkets for Jeep. That, for those that are into the Jeeps and the off-roads, it's a worth trip because there's always so many accessories for the Jeep. It's just unbelievable. You can make these things pretty much. The only thing that I've not seen yet, it's a Jeep crossing the Atlantic, but I've seen everything else, climbing, you know, mountains, crossing rivers. It's amazing all the off-road accessories that are available. And it's going to be a very nice day because it's Southern California. What better thing than be at the beach surrounded by automobiles?
Yep, delicious food, vendors, fresh air, they say. Incredible builds. There is no other place you'd rather be. This is coming straight from the organizers. And as we know, Michelle, our legal advisor, they cannot say that if it's not true. So there you go. September 7th. Check out jeep-bash.com for that one. This is another interesting one that this next one, Super Street After Dark, is also Saturday, September 7th. You could theoretically go to all of these things that weekend. Yep. It is held at Kaiser Cars in Compton, California. They're going to have live music, demonstrations, art exhibits, and cars on display. Now, this is a Motor Trend thing. I think this is the first time in my life I've ever promoted a Motor Trend event. So there you go. MotorTrend.com/Super Street After Dark, all one word. And then, if you still can't get enough, this is another one that looks like a Fast and Furious type gathering. Tuner Evo Showcase San Diego. That's way down. That's even farther south than Michelle is in Irvine. Tuner Evo Showcase San Diego, September 7th, 3 to 8 p.m. 1827 Main Street in San Diego, California. An unforgettable day of automotive excellence at the showcase. The inaugural collaborative event presented by Tuner Evolution and Garage Collective. It's on September 7th in San Diego. So that's another road trip. You can either go north or you can go south, whichever one you want, whichever one has better weather. And they probably both have great weather. So they're promising custom car displays. Mm-hmm. And they say, this is what they say, marvel at a stunning array of custom cars from lowriders and performance Euros to meticulous imports and legendary VIPs. What do you think, Michelle?
Well, okay, this is in the Midtown area. So here's a tip. If you go down there, go to STP Grill, and it's all car themed, and the food is amazing.
Is that one of the seasonings that you add to your steak, STP?
STP. I thought it was the motor oil, but okay.
STP. Nobody ever did figure out what STP was and whether it did anything.
It does. It does. It works.
There's a testimony.
There you have it.
I've been using that for as far as I remember.
Yes.
What's that word? The Latin word placebo.
Yes.
So it might not do anything at all. I don't know.
But you just think
I don't
it does.
Know. All I can say is for a number of years, I was a spokesperson for.
Oh, so you got paid to say that it worked.
Duda Lube. And it was interesting because, 70% of the annual budget was advertising. So
all right.
It was very interesting.
But this sounds like a cool event, actually.
Yeah. And another thing, kind of down halfway to Orange County, the Belmont Shore Car Show. This is Sunday, September 8th. Starts at 8 a.m. It's free. 33rd annual Belmont Shore Car Show. Over 1,000 show cars are expected, and they'll have vendors with memorabilia and car theme merchandise will be there.
Yeah, that's a lot of hot rods, a lot of cars, a lot of hot rods. Again, 33 years of being in the same location, testimony that obviously they're doing things right. It's a fun day. I will suggest you get there early because, some of the cars start leaving around noontime. But you can walk around all the cars, chat to the owners, and definitely a lot of hot rods and a lot of muscle cars, a lot of American automobiles. And I'm always amazed at the ingenuity of people, what they do, what they modify, and the whys they pick certain cars. It's quite interesting. It's a good show.
Every car has a story. Every owner has a story they want to tell you. So you can go check that out. Now, the following weekend, so this is 2 weeks from today, September 14th and 15th, the Grand National Truck Show at the Fairplex in Pomona. Now, we know John Buck, who puts on the Grand National Roadster Show and has for many years now at this same location. A couple of years ago, he added a truck show. So it's called the Grand National Truck Show, or formerly it's the second annual O'Reilly Auto Parts Grand National Truck Show, presented by Classic Truck Performance Magazine. That's everybody. We have fulfilled our legal obligation, named every possible name on the flyer. There we go. So that's going to be a celebration of hundreds of trucks, vans, and SUV, make, model, and style at the Fairplex Pomona. Now, they call it the premier truck-only event, but they will have music, vendors, food, and live entertainment. Ricardo, did you have a thought on that?
No, I'm always amazed how popular pickup trucks are in the United States. It's just amazing. And trucks command 54% of the total sales. If we count trucks as the manufacturers do, which includes SUVs, it's just amazing that the pickup truck, it's the vehicle of choice for so many families around the country. When you go in some states like Texas, Arkansas, and so forth, you just see trucks and trucks and trucks and trucks and nothing but trucks. So it's quite interesting. It's very unique to the United States.
Yeah, the pickup truck actually most of the country needs a pickup truck because most of the country has a farm or a ranch or something or a construction company, and they need those. And then the rest of the country just likes the way they look. So come and celebrate trucks, and more trucks. And they're going to give out, just as they do at the Grand National Roadster Show, they give out an award called America's Most Beautiful Roadster, the Amber. They're going to give out America's Most Beautiful Truck Award. Or actually, no, they're calling it the World's Most Beautiful Truck Award. So I don't know, WMBTA Wumbata is picked from 12 entrants, just as it is for the Amber Award for the Roadster. And then they get, their own fancy, trophy. And I think they get $12,500 is the actual money that they win for that, which is probably a drop in the bucket, a drop in the truck bed for how much they put into making that. But you can check it out at rodshows.com/grand-national-truck-show. How's that?
Something else that happens within that show that is quite interesting, it's because this is an art that I'm glad I see some young faces doing it.
Pinstriping.
The pinstriping, the Marguini Memorial pinstriping. And last year, I saw a lot of young people, you know, perfecting this art. And I thought, oh, my God, this is something that is gone. So I'm really happy to see that now we see some new faces into that into that type of art technique. And people are actually not putting the tapes anymore, but actually painting on the cars. So that's great.
Yeah, they call it the Tom McWeeny Memorial Pinstriping Award, recognizing the finest pinstriping. And yeah, there'll be a lot going on. That's 2 weeks away, September 14th and 15th at the Pomona Fairplex. And before we go on to the news, we'll just do another quick plug for you to do your part and support KPFK, support the car show, support everything you love about this station by calling 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and make a donation. Your donation will be appreciated and will help keep us on the air. We're moving on to news, folks, and we're going to start out news with some sad news. Every now and then something comes up like this, and this is certainly one of the sadder ones. A good friend of the car show and really an American hero, a member of the America's Greatest Generation, our friend Alex Exidius passed away last week. I got the news, and you know, he was 102 years old, so I wasn't fully shocked, but I had just seen him weeks before. We went to lunch and he was still sharp as ever, and he really enjoyed going to lunch and hanging out and talking. He was a great guy. He was the founder of the SoCal Speed Shop, a World War II veteran. He was a flight engineer and a gunner on B-17s and then on B-24s. You know, the dome, the bubble dome on the top of those planes, that was his position. He said he was pretty good at it. But he said he used to joke that he successfully defended Arizona from Japanese attack throughout the war. So he was that's how he was. You know, he was humble. He would always try and make you laugh. In a lot of ways, his life mirrored that of the American century. He was born in 1922, grew up in the Depression. He was born here in Hollywood. So he just did a lot of the same stuff that you would see portrayed in movies and in books and everything. It was sort of his life. He told me one story how he had a job in the 30s at a gas station on Hollywood Boulevard. He was making 10 cents an hour, and he got a chance to go out and make 11 cents an hour at another job. And he says he took it immediately. He says, imagine a time like that when just a single penny would make that much of a difference. And so he did that. World War II came along. He enlisted in the Army Air Corps and did service there. Got out in 1946. And when you got out of the Army at that time, they would give you $100. He put the $100 into founding the SoCal Speed Shop. The SoCal Speed Shop, of course, made some of the greatest Bonneville racers in the history of that sport. I think they were the first ones to go over 150 miles an hour, and Alex himself drove over 190 miles an hour. They made a streamliner that went over 200 with the great Dean Batchelor at the wheel. And then Alex went on to, in the early 60s, he started filming motorsports events. He would drive to the Indy 500 and with a couple of 16 millimeter cameras, however much film they could afford. They would shoot the whole thing, drive back, straight back to Hollywood, process the film, edit it, and then they would hold screenings in auditoriums around Southern California for these movies. So if you wanted to know what happened at the Indy 500 that year, you couldn't watch TV. There was no TV really to speak of, and there certainly was no live motorsports at that time. And so you would pay 25 cents and go and sit down there in the Ambassador Auditorium or somewhere and watch this movie being projected. He did that. He was one of the he went to work at Peterson Publications and worked at Carcraft and also some of the trade publications there. He was one of the founders of the SEMA show and on and on and on. So we say goodbye to our good friend Alex Exidius after many years of just being a great guy and really doing stuff that we all enjoyed. And he was so happy to share that life with just many of his friends. And I'm lucky to call To have called him a friend myself, a great guy. We send our condolences to his family. I've heard from a couple of family members, and we haven't heard about a memorial service or anything yet. But if there is a public one, we'll let you know about it. So that is the sad news that we're starting off with. But let's move on to some happier stuff. Just a couple more quick notes about Pebble Beach. Now, Ricardo and Michelle, you guys did not go to Pebble, right?
No. I had to work.
Oh, man.
Did Ricardo go? He went to the Lemons, right? He had his Lemons rally, I think.
Yeah, you were on a rally.
I was a completely different. No, I did not go to Pebble Beach. I kind of have mixed feelings now. But then maybe not, because I think what happened is something that is historically it's a significant event, I would say, in the history of Pebble Beach. And I'm speaking about the winter itself, because it was quite interesting.
It was unprecedented.
Yes.
The winner of Pebble Beach. Now, it was a Bugatti, right, which we're all used to. And, you know, you would expect, if somebody just said that a Bugatti won Pebble, you'd say, okay, you know, dog bites man. Mm-hmm. But the man bite dog about this story is that it was an unrestored Bugatti. First time ever.
A couple of years ago, they started a class that they call it preservation class, which I think is commendable. And it's amazing when we see some of these automobiles that somehow have survived the time intact or almost intact. And it's very valid to commemorate all the people that still preserve these automobiles. But regardless, a concourse is a concourse. It's a concourse of elegance. And all across the world, there's only a handful of international events, Pebble Beach being perhaps one of the most notorious around the world. And because it's a concourse of elegance, a lot of emphasis has been put into making these cars absolutely gorgeous.
Millions of dollars
are being spent.
But not this one. Not this one. 1934 Bugatti Type 59 Sports, once owned by King Leopold of Belgium, driven by, as we are told, without getting specific, legends of motorsport in various races. And it sat and sat and sat, and it was unrestored. And this guy from Switzerland has it now, and he entered it in the preservation class. And I never would have picked this. I walked the field, and I had a couple Hispano-Suizas picked out. There was a Mercedes I was thinking could win. There were other restored Bugattis that could win. I never in a million years would have said that this 1934.
I agree, and I thought when I saw the four finalists for the show, that Talbot Lago, with the bluish color, with I can never pronounce this, Satovic bodywork. An amazing work that did an outstanding restoration. It's beautiful to look at. So I thought that this probably is going to be the winner. I did not expect an unrestored vehicle to be the winner of Pebble Beach, but it was. I was pretty surprised by a vehicle that I've seen just before Pebble Beach. Is that 1954 Ferrari 375 NM with bodywork by Ghia. That was the orange and sort of silver color Ferrari. Very unusual, very particular, very distinctive bodywork. And it was just beautiful. And I guess I agree with you. I don't know if you were talking about the same one, but there was a 1923 Hispano-Suiza HCB with bodywork by Fernandez and Darin, that it was outstanding. It was a huge
and
automobile.
King Leopold also was a big booster of Hispano-Suizas, by the way. So maybe it was just a King Leopold thing. Who knows?
But like every year, I think Pebble Beach doesn't disappoint. There's always outstanding automobiles. Something that I have to say, I have to give credit to Ferrari. I really like what they have done, where now they're pretty much sort of an annex to the golf course with their own show, their own presentation. Right. They do it on Saturday, but actually still on Sundays, all the cars remain on display. And they had a great theme. They were celebrating the 70 years of Ferrari in North America. So pretty much all the cars on the lawn had something to do with the United States, being success in sales, commemorative vehicles, or even winners of famous races like the 24 Hours of Daytona or the 12 Hours of Sebring.
Yes, and Le Mans, as they've won the last 2 years at Le Mans, Ferrari has. So, yeah, that was a surprise. That was the big surprise of the weekend. Of course, the second big surprise of the weekend was at Concours de Le Mans, where I myself went there and had my own little exhibit. Okay, so you know how they have these exclusive roped-off hospitality areas that nobody is allowed in? So I set one up. I ordered these velvet ropes and brass stanchions, and I set them up on the grounds of the Concours de Le Mans, and I had a little sign, and it said exclusive hospitality area into which you are not admitted. And I stood there with a dark suit on and sunglasses, and I had a clipboard, and I would ask passersby, do you want me to check and see if you're on the list? And they'd say, yeah, yeah. I'd say, oh, I'm sorry, you're not on the list. I did that all day. That was the second biggest thing at the Pebble Beach weekend. So there you go. You're getting it all here. You miss nothing here on the car show. We bring now, it all to you.
Mark, did you get to see the vehicle that you're supposed to drive? And unfortunately, you couldn't. Did you get to sit in the car at all?
And I had seen it. Okay. A third story. There's a Pebble Beach week is a million different stories. So I had, by just sheer persistence and begging and wheedling, and the Gordon Murray Automotive has this new car called the T50, a mid-engine V12 supercar, three-seater, tri-posto, where the driver sits in the center. And I finally talked my way into getting a ride in it. They're not letting anybody drive it, but a ride with Dario Franchitti driving. And that was going to happen on Tuesday. So I'm driving up there on Tuesday. I had a BMW XM, which we will discuss a little bit later in the show. It had 23-inch wheels, just in general, not BMW specifically, but any 23-inch wheeled car, if you hit anything larger than a marble, you're going to get a flat tire. So I got two flat tires, and I'm sitting out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, and I missed my drive of the T50. So that's the three big things from my perspective about Pebble Beach.
Darn. You did get to see the car while you were up there.
I saw it was up there. It was, they had a stand at the Quail, which is an amazing event. I think the Quail itself is easily surpassing Pebble Beach, maybe. It's on its way to surpassing Pebble Beach because it had some beautiful cars there. Sam Mann's car, I think it was a Delahaye that won, was just absolutely stunning. It looked like it was floating off the ground. It was so beautiful. And so that is surpassing in a way. It's on its way to catching Pebble in that regard. It's already past the Geneva Motor Show and whatever other motor show you have as far as industry news. I think there were 17, 18, 19 different press conferences at the Quail. There was a road and track hospitality booth, which I never went into, but I could have because I work for Hearst. There were just displays everywhere. I mean, Myers Manx was there. Gordon Murray, Lamborghini introduced the successor, the hybrid successor to the current Huracan. It's got a hybrid drivetrain, and the internal combustion component of that spins to 10,000 RPM. There was news all over the place. If you just go to autoweek.com, you can read all the different stories. There are way too many to get.
Also, Lincoln presented the new Navigator during that.
Yep.
And beautiful interior.
There were a bunch of press conferences with a bunch of very interesting news there. But if you didn't make it to Pebble and you still wanted to see some beautiful cars and you still wanted to see some of the cars that were at Pebble, last Sunday here in sunny San Marino, California, was the San Marino Motor Classic, which in a sense brings Pebble Beach to Los Angeles, or actually specifically to San Marino. And I was surprised that they host that there, because San Marino is a very conservative community. They tried to have a farmer's market there, and the old timers shut it down. You know, we don't want strange people coming into our city. So, but they allow this now. I think this is the 13th time they've had the San Marino Motor Classic. It is put on by our good friend Aaron Weiss, a car collector who shows at Pebble, does all kinds of things. He's a very charismatic fellow, and he can get people to do all kinds of things. So that was last weekend, the 13th year for the San Marino Motor Classic. I think they had 12 cars straight from the lawn at Pebble Beach that were brought down south. Now, they changed the timing around on this to make the San Marino Motor Classic happen the week after Pebble Beach, so that specifically for that. So you just drive the transporter south and show the car one more time before you pack it up and put it back into, I don't know, wherever you live, Massachusetts or wherever. And so that's what they do here. So you get to see a lot of beautiful cars there. We here at the car show have plugged this show, so we told you about it. I hope several of you were able to go. I hope a lot of you were able to go. I saw some car show listeners there and said hello. This year, there were 330 cars in total on the giant lawn at Lacey Park. And a dozen of which, as I said, came from Pebble. And there were probably more cars that had been shown at the Quail or Concorso Italiano or any number of other events. And it's all for charity. So all the money goes, I think they're over $3 million that they've donated to local charities, including the Pasadena Humane Society and others that I will probably get wrong. But it's a good event and a great group of people that put it on. Right? Right, guys?
Always a nice event, I have to say, especially with American classics.
Yep. And our friends Dave Koontz and Ed Justice Jr. were the MCs this year. So you can hear their dulcet tones every year. So plan on trying to do that next year. So let's see. We got five more minutes of news, and I want to tell you about the big news. Now, no shock, again, broadcast earlier, there was shocking news. This is no shock. The Coliseum, what was that event? Clash at the Coliseum.
At the Coliseum for three years in a row. Yes.
Michelle and I have attended that. Ricardo, I think you went as well.
Yeah, I went to the first one and I thought, I don't think this is going to happen a second year.
It happened 3 years in a row. That was their contract for 3 years. They paved the infield of, not the infield, the field at the Coliseum and put a quarter mile paved track there, and it is not coming back. NASCAR just revealed its 2025 schedule. No Clash at the Coliseum. Shocked? Were you guys shocked?
Not at all. Not at all. But they did announce that they will have an event in Mexico. So that I think it's very good for Mexico itself, for NASCAR, because with Daniel Suarez winning, with Daniel Suarez being, you know, one of the top contenders now within the NASCAR circuit, it makes sense to have the local at their own city. And hopefully there will be another Hispanic driver in NASCAR soon.
Yeah, and it's especially for Los Angeles, because we here in L.A., now that the Fontana's bulldozed, Irwindale's a fine half-mile circuit. They could have something there, but there is no NASCAR Cup event there. The closest event that we have, well, the only one in California, is going to be at Sonoma. Now, that's going to take place July 13th in Sonoma. And you can also, if you're a hardcore NASCAR fan and you're going to drive there, you can go see the Cup Series at Phoenix March 9th and Las Vegas on March 16th. But our event here in downtown LA is going to be replaced by Bowman Gray Stadium. Have you guys ever heard of Bowman Gray Stadium?
Not till I saw this announcement.
Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Nine-points exhibition on February 2nd. It's also a quarter-mile track. It's a historic track. It was the it's been a Cup Series location since 1971. It is where Richard Petty won his 100th career event. The track has been on, it was on the Cup, Winston Cup, formerly called the Winston Cup Series from 1958 to 1971. So that is where the season is starting. And then it goes on to Daytona on February 16th. So there you go.
I'm kind of disappointed that NASCAR's departed Southern California.
Well, but why should it? I mean, they've got millions of people.
I'm disappointed that they shut down Fontana. the millions of dollars that were spent, all the preparation. We have world-class facility. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I can only think of mismanagement, because with so many series in the United States, we could have IMSA, we could have IndyCars, we could have NASCAR, we could have, you know, a motorcycle. So there was literally room to have an international like event at that facility every 2 months. but it didn't happen.
Well, the first year, right? They had CART, IRL, NASCAR. They had two NASCAR races for a while year.
Two NASCAR, yeah.
It was, I think, the seating was up to 95,000 seats.
Yeah, they had a lot. And I went to the very last NASCAR race that was there, and it was packed. It was totally packed, you guys. It wasn't like they were, oh, well, we need to close because no one's interested anymore.
So what's going on? If only there was an automotive journalist who could look into that and see what actually happened. And,
Mark, why don't you assign that to somebody?
I'll assign that to you. No, but I tried to track that down, and, you know, it's hard to get anybody to say anything because time I went out there, granted, it was a couple months ago, but they still had the main grandstands and the main straight and several of the garages.
Yeah, I noticed
still
that.
There,
yeah.
And they're bulldozing all the land around it and doing stuff on it. So I don't know.
The backstretch is just gone.
I did find that it's not in the city of Fontana. It's unincorporated land. I found that much out. So you can't get NASCAR to say anything about it. So it's a bit of a mystery right now.
We know that all that land was contaminated because Mr. Agajanian spent a couple of million dollars doing all the research. If you remember, and I don't know if you went to that meeting, Mark, when they did the announcement of the truck.
I was there. Yeah, that was Penske, not Agajanian.
It was a Agajanian before Penske. It was a Agajanian who spent the money doing all the work, and then something happened and Penske came in. But we knew that land was the smelting, the aluminum smelting plants for the construction of ships
for Kaiser Steel.
Yeah, so all the land is totally contaminated. There's no way that people can live in that area.
It was contaminated. They carried it all out in trash bags, right? In hefty bags. This was like 30 years ago, right?
I don't think that was completely done, and that was the reason that this became a viable solution of using the land, because no people was going to be living in there, and it was going to be temporary events all the time. But no one looks at the details anymore. It's a shame that Southern California does not have a racetrack with, you know, the demographics that we have here. For sure, we'll be able to make it work. But
well, we say that, and yet, does Irwindale sell out every night? Does Paris Auto Speedway sell out? Does Ventura? Does Orange Speedway? Are these places selling out, or is there just not as much demand for NASCAR anymore? I don't know.
The demand is there. Oh, it's totally there.
We cannot compare your local homegrown event or sort of what Paris is like. You know, when we have an international facility, you need that type of event.
Right, and Irwindale's not big enough. There's not.
But I'm just saying, if there's such a huge demand, then Irwindale should be selling out every single week.
Not necessarily. Because again, it's a different public.
And they mix it up with what they have. Like, they're going to have Night of Destruction coming up, and then they're going to have their drag racing. And they have all different kinds of things. They have the drift events. And we always talk about Irwindale because I want people to continue to go there and keep them alive.
We should have a car show entry in the Night of Destruction. Who's with me?
Oh, hell yeah. Let's do it.
Who's going
to drive?
I vote
for Michelle to be the driver.
Michelle's the driver. Well, actually, they have ladies, demolition derby. They have had that at Irwindale. So we'll buy you a Mitsubishi Mirage, Michelle.
Perfect. Okay, great. Let's knock all the windows out and take out everything.
And then you can sue us afterwards for something. I don't know what. So anyway, we're over time here. We got to go on to our reviews. And the opposite of a NASCAR race car for me is the BMW XM, a plug-in hybrid SUV with refined performance. This thing came out last year, and I remember when I wrote about it, I didn't think it was that bad, but boy, some of the commenters were really, I mean, I think the nastiest I've ever seen.
Why was it so brutal?
I was supposed to hate how ugly it was and how overpriced it was, and compared to, I don't know, previous BMWs, it's not that ugly. The kidney grills are, that's a ringing endorsement. It's not that ugly.
and comparing it to the same vehicle.
Yeah.
So let me stop you for a second. If you were parked this XM next to the Genesis GV80, which one is more appealing to you?
When you get this basic shape, I don't think it even matters. If you're down to looking at an SUV, you're not looking at a beautiful car. Okay, it's not. It doesn't strike you as being beautiful, but neither does it strike you as being particularly ugly. It's got like this gold. And I will say, I had one. This is what I drove to Pebble Beach and back. So thank you, BMW.
And you weren't completely embarrassed.
And no, the whole time, I do not look for praise. I do not seek out. You know, I'm not trying to be a baller, as the kids say. I don't want, you know, people saying, hey, that's cool. And nonetheless,
nobody stopped to help you with a flat tire.
Everybody stopped. I'll get to that. Everybody stopped and said this, like CHP officers, guys at gas stations, just everybody across the board. They loved this look. They thought it was really cool. And I was taken aback by that. So it was most of the time, it was a great car. I had to pack everything in there for my hospitality area. It all fit just fine. I was glad to get this. It was either this or a Z4, and I could not carry those brass stanchions and velvet ropes in the Z4. So I got this XM, and it did very well. It has a 4.4 liter V8 with a single electric motor powering all four wheels. Prices start about $160,000. So that is expensive. But if you compare it to something equivalent, like something like one of the, what would it be? The AMG equivalent. It's less offensive looking than the AMG equivalent. And price-wise, it's close to it. And I was very comfortable having driven this, except for the 23-inch wheels, which, as I said earlier, anything with 23-inch wheels that gets near a grain of salt or sand will give you a flat tire. So I, you know, designers like those things. The guys who shoot the brochures, they like 23-inch wheels. But I think in regular life, you do not want 23-inch wheels on anything. But that's just me.
Did it come with a spare?
It came with one spare, but I had two flats
at the same time.
At the same time, the same rock on the right side did it. But BMW was very nice. They eventually, it was about a 6-hour ordeal. I got it flatbedded to the BMW dealership in Monterey, which was a very impressive dealership, I thought. And they put a whole new set of Yokohama tires on it, and I drove it back. No problem. I was definitely looking out for rocks, but I really liked it. It's e-drive synchronous electric motors, which are powering that along with the 4.4 liter twin turbo V8. Now, that's more than an AMG GLE 63-4-matic as far as output anyway. And, price-wise, like I said, it's fairly close to that. And everybody, I emphasize, this was not my judgment. This was the judgment of everybody who saw the thing. They loved it. So there you go. I throw that out there.
Oh, is it a 3-row or is it a 2?
Two row,
but only. But it had a lot of storage space for all your hospitality suite stuff.
My entire hospitality suite fit back there, including
and your luggage,
a bottle of Mountain Dew, which I had in a champagne cooler there.
So your guests could be entertained with their Mountain Dew.
Now, do you have any numbers in terms of sales data? How many of these have been sold since it's one of the newest plug-in vehicles from BMW?
No, I don't have that in front of me.
I'm just curious because it's basically a new, right? It's a new entry.
It's relatively new. It was introduced last year.
And that power plan, it's very similar to the ones that they use in the prototypes that are running on Daytona.
Right.
I believe that's the D8 with the electric motor.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Go ahead.
No, we know it's very powerful, a very powerful package. And it does have its own unique look. And it definitely, but I always think any car that is over $100,000, it has to have certain impact. Otherwise, I just don't see the reason why buying one. There are plenty of cars today in the market that do what they're supposed to do, which is take you from A to B in plenty of comfort and saving fuel
This one will get you to 0 to 60 in less than 4.3 seconds.
And how much energy will consume to do that?
I don't know.
Who's looking?
22 million kilowatt hours. I don't know. Where do you come up with these questions?
He's trying to give you a hard time.
Jeez Louise.
Did you have to stop to fuel on the way up or back?
Indeed, I did. Yes.
Just once, yes. Right? Just yeah. Once.
Well, no. I don't know.
Yes. But, just say yes.
Yes. But the AMG GLA 63S 4MATIC is starts at 120 grand, so that is less than this. The Porsche Cayenne Turbo S e-hybrid coupe stickers for close to 175 grand, which is more. And you can get a regular old entry-level Cayenne for $72,000. So, I mean, there's competition out there. If you go up a couple classes, you've got the Lamborghini Urus, the Bentley Bentayga, and cars like that, which
The Aston Martin DBX 707.
The 707, which I just drove and just published my story on. And maybe we'll talk about that in more depth next week.
We drove the same car a day apart.
There we go. You want it? Well, we could talk about that now. We have 10 minutes left on the show.
How about that Equinox?
The Equinox, it's just I had the opportunity. Mark, did you have the opportunity to drive the new 2025 Equinox?
Nope.
I have to say Chevrolet has done a very good job with this vehicle. And I'm not surprised because, as I understand, talking to the engineers, this is it. This is the vehicle that they really want people and the consumers to focus on Chevrolet. It's a compact size SUV. Think of, you know, same size as a RAV4, Subaru Forester, and the Mazda CX-5. But definitely the exterior design is very nice. They've done a very wonderful job because I always think any vehicle, the first thing is the design has to catch your eye.
It looks a little bit like the Telluride, I think.
When you're next to it, it does have the proportions, yes. But you know, all these SUVs are about the same. But when you're next to it, the body has certain contours. It's pretty nice, and I like that you have the option to have the roofs of the car being either white or black with different colors, which from the point of view of design, it's very striking. Now, what they have done is basically they've three different flavors. We have the LT, which is the basic Equinox. The average family in the United States is 3.1, which means a couple and a kid and one on the way. So thinking of that, they have built a vehicle that really appeals to that segment, to the young family. It's very striking. As I said, I like the design. We have the LT, which is a basic model. That comes with it's front-wheel drive. And then you have the RS, which RS in the Chevrolet language has always been sort of the sports version.
And they rally also sport.
Right. And they also have what they call an active, which is more for those who are a little bit more adventurous. What's the difference? They all share the same platform. They all share the same engine, which is a four-cylinder 1.5 liter turbocharged, capable of 175 horsepower. Very torquey, almost 200 foot-pounds of torque. Very, very good for everyday driving. The LT version, the front-wheel drive, comes with a CVT transmission. But the RS and the Active, they use an automatic 8-speed transmission. And that makes a little bit of difference. You can feel a little better acceleration, better feeling when you're driving it. But I've heard some people say, oh, it needs more power. I don't think it needs more power. I think it's plenty of power if we're thinking of a vehicle that can do take the family comfortably from A to B and still give you a pretty good mileage. So we're looking at close to 40 miles per gallon. So I think that's pretty good in today's world. I like the Active for the reason that it has a different grille. And it's amazing. Only changing the grille, the car looks totally different. There are two colors that are particularly they look really good on the Active. The Active comes with different wheels and all-terrain wheels, which are a little bit noisy, of course. And I did ask the engineers, hey, are you doing something about the noise? Are you doing some extra padding, you know, on the doors or something to minimize the sound? It says, no, the Active version is for those that want these tires and they know they're going to be a little bit noisy. But they did change the suspension a bit. They have different roll bars and the tuning of the springs is different to be able to perform better on dirt roads, or if you go into a national park, be able to maximize your enjoyment on those trails. the interior, I found it very comfortable. I like the design of the seats very cleverly. And then when you're sitting in front of you, you have this huge screen, which is all digital. They're two separate screens, but they're integrated. So they almost look like one screen. In front of you, you have the instrument panel, all digital. You can make changes and so forth, multicolor. And then right next to it, you have a larger, almost 13 inches. I believe it's 11.5 inches. But anyway, it's big enough and it's not obstructive. There's still some buttons where you can use the climate control using buttons, which makes people of all ages feel comfortable.
What size vehicle is this? Like, does it compete against like a Toyota RAV4?
As I mentioned before, it's a compact that is right in line with the Mazda CX-5.
That's pretty small.
The Forester. Well, there's still smaller than that, but
it can get away with a 1.5 liter engine and feel underpowered.
Yeah, and it is the most competitive segment in the whole automotive industry in the United States, that particular compact segment, where every manufacturer has a car, and it's not easy to compete because every manufacturer is doing kind of like they're trying to do one up on the other one. So
do you think they should have added a different engine option? Or is that all the engine we need?
I understand. If I would say it, perhaps for marketing purposes and just to quiet some of the press that I always want power, but they're not the ones buying the car, perhaps. But we have to think that the LT version, it starts at $28,000. It's $27,900. So which makes it very accessible when we think that today, you know, the new car price average is $43,000. When you have a brand new family car with good warranties and all that, and it is only 28, that's something to think about. Yes, Mark.
The Toyota RAV4, Honda CR-V, and Nissan Rogue, very close competitors to this. They all make more power than this Equinox.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. But I think, again, it's a good competitor. As I mentioned, it's a very difficult segment, but I like what they've done. It's in terms of design and overall components, it is a step up from the previous Equinox. Yes, Mark.
It only makes 27 mpg combined, whereas competitors make more than that, 28 mpg for the CR-V, and the CR-V hybrid will get over 40 mpg,
and
the Kia Niro hybrid is 53-45 mpg city highway. So I don't know. I see some shortcomings.
But we're not talking about hybrids here. You know, if we compare hybrids, then
but there's no hybrid available here. See, they offer a hybrid option, and
we don't know.
And
maybe
Chevy
maybe
doesn't
it's
offer
coming
a hybrid
up.
Option.
Well, maybe there's coming up. There's also
now.
An Equinox.
We're interviewing what's there now.
There's also an Equinox electric vehicle, pretty comparable. So there you have it, my friends. Something to think about. Again, the most competitive segment. Everyone has something that is very, very attractive, and as you can tell, everyone likes something different. So at the end of the day, all we can do is provide opinions and make sure you go and test drive at least two or three before you sign. Michelle.
I wanted to know the one with the different grill and the sport or the
active.
The active. What was that priced at?
It's priced at $34,900.
Okay.
Are they wheeling and dealing?
I think every dealer at this time is trying to do so because the sales, I think they will be slowing down, but we'll see.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend, that's a great weekend to hit a car dealer because it's the end of the month. You always want to go get a new car at the end of the month. That's when they have to close out their numbers.
And speaking about closing out numbers, we're going to close out ours right now with the one last plea for you to please donate to KPFK. Call 818-583
818-985-5735.
And kpfk.org. Please do that. Stick around for Rhapsody in Black. Bill Garner, our good friend, bringing you music you didn't even know you liked for the next 2 hours. And we will see you here next week. Same bad time, same bad channel on The Car Show.
Not only are KPFK listeners smart, interesting, and forward-thinking, you're also very generous and deeply appreciated. Thank you so much for pledging your support to KPFK during our fund drive.
All of the above, 2 to 4 a.m. Saturday night.
Okay, I know it's late, but sometimes you just get inspired to rock, right?
Yeah.
I did.
All of the above radio, growing on the west coast of the Milky Way, with your host Bango, in rare form as usual, but I'll synthesize it right before your eyes.
So show your appreciation!
Yeah. Light year groove.
A journey through high quality music that's always fun. Late Saturday night, 2 to 4 a.m., right after In the Cut with DJ Ben Vera.
Let's go!
That's bizarre. Please listen.
Now I'm a rock. Grab the big fat cigar.
The funk, the P-funk, the bomb.
Anything and everything is possible when you tune in to the one and only All of the Above with Django.
I play music of the night.
On the radio.
And the fantasies of dreamers come true.
You make this a weekly habit, and hey, call a friend and tell them to tune in to this particular station.
Past shows available at AOTARadio.com. All of the Above.
It's astounding! It's amazing! Get on the bandwagon!